The Barefoot Bandit is in custody. Space Florida is open for business at Cape Canaveral. And Embraer has a decent second quarter. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 12, 2010. The so-called Barefoot Bandit is in custody. Colton Harris Moore, who has allegedly left a wake of destruction of other people's property in 2 years on the run from U.S. authorities since escaping from a juvenile delinquent halfway house, was finally apprehended yesterday morning by Bahamian authorities, who say they shot out the motor of Moore's escape boat near the island of Eleuthera. The 19-year-old is said to have tried to dispose of a gun during his capture, but it's not clear whether authorities recovered it. The boat in which he was captured was reported stolen, and Harris Moore is a suspect in at least 3 burglaries and 4 attempted boat thefts in the Bahamas in the past week, after allegedly ditching a Cessna Corvallis stolen from Bloomington, Indiana, over the July 4th holiday weekend. Aside from all the burglaries, cars, and boats, Harris Moore is suspected of stealing at least 5 planes, all of them valuable high-performance models, and, as might be expected for someone who's never taken flight instruction, crashed them all. The accomplished outdoorsman got his nickname from his M.O. when witnesses reported a perp without shoes in the various crimes. The reaction to the crime spree is as troubling as the crimes themselves. Harris Moore has over 60,000 friends on Facebook. Donations are reportedly coming into a defense fund set up for him in Washington State. His mother is said to be pursuing a book or movie deal. In CBS News video of the shoeless and shackled teen being escorted from a police plane in Nassau, a bystander is heard yelling, "We love you, Barefoot Bandit." Harris Moore is to be arraigned in the Bahamas before extradition requests from several U.S. jurisdictions are processed. The FAA has approved a launch site operator's license for Space Florida to facilitate commercial launches from Space Launch Complex 46 at Cape Canaveral. Space Florida may now actively pursue commercial customers. Full complex readiness is anticipated within 12 months of a formal customer commitment. Florida Lieutenant Governor Jeff Kottkamp calls it great news for his state. Quote, "Commercial customers now have an additional option for launch from our nation's premier spaceport. This announcement just reinforces the fact that our state is rapidly facing the emerging space market and is ready for business." Unquote. Among prospective clients, Lockheed Martin and ATK have announced their intention to return the Athena launch vehicle to the marketplace, and both companies list Florida as one of 4 potential launch sites. Embraer reports a decent second quarter. For the 3 months ending June 30th, the company says it delivered 69 jets to the airline and executive jet segments. Deliveries of executive jets increased from 19 to 40, and airliners dropped from 35 to 29. As of June 30th, Embraer says its firm order backlog totaled $15.2 billion U.S. That's down 5% from the $16 billion of the previous quarter. Up next on ANN, Boeing bids on KCX again. The Dreamliner debuts at Farnborough, or does it? And Aero Air hangs it up. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 12th. I'm Paul Plack. As expected, Boeing got its bid to build the U.S. Air Force KCX tanker in by the deadline on Friday. The company says its 8,000-page new-gen tanker proposal offers an American-made 767-based multi-mission tanker that will satisfy all 372 mandatory Air Force requirements and be capable, survivable, and combat-ready at the lowest cost to the taxpayer. Boeing Defense CEO Dennis Muilenburg boasts, quote, "Boeing has more than 60 years of experience developing, manufacturing, and supporting tankers for America's warfighters, and we're ready to build the new-gen tanker now. This revolutionary tanker will deliver wide-body capabilities in a narrow-body footprint, operate in any theater or from any base, and, with the lowest operating cost of any tanker in the competition, save the Air Force and the American taxpayers billions of dollars, unquote. Despite the rhetoric we'll be hearing in intensified PR campaigns the rest of this year, any potential benefit to U.S. employment cannot be considered by the DOD in evaluating the bids. The debate among lawmakers, however, can be expected to mention it often. Boeing announced on Friday its 787 Dreamliner will make its international debut on the 18th of this month when the doors open on the Farnborough International Airshow outside London. The company says it also will feature an extensive display of new, advanced unmanned systems and technologies. Tom Downey, Senior VP for Communications, explains, quote, "We've chosen Farnborough as a venue for spotlighting the breakthrough capabilities and innovations of both our commercial airplanes and our defense, space, and security businesses. We look forward to an optimistic mood this year as industry leaders meet amid signs of economic recovery," unquote. But it may not be fair to call Farnborough the debut. Attendees at this past weekend's Arlington fly-in north of Seattle have already had their look at the Dreamliner. A test 787, equipped with quiet new GE engines, made two low passes over the event Thursday, wagging the wings at spectators. And notably missing from any discussion of the plane's first public appearance, Oshkosh. Aero Air Holdings has ceased scheduled service operations effective immediately, blaming increasing operating costs and declining revenues. Quote, "Aero is now focused on helping to smooth the transition for the company's hardworking, dedicated employees, as well as its customers, suppliers, and other stakeholders," unquote. In papers filed with U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Miami, the company declared assets of $10 to $50 million, but debts of 10 times that much. Air Cargo World indicates that about 450 employees have been laid off, but 130 retained to help with an orderly wind-down and the liquidation of assets. Aero operated more than 60 flights a week to and from Central and South America and the Caribbean. The last time the organization of DC-3 and C-47 pilots gathering a reunion of the planes and the people at Whiteside Airport in Rock Falls, Illinois, the weekend before Oshkosh, have published a list of procedures and safety policies in advance of their event. 40 or more of the aircraft are expected, creating the need for a few additional rules at the normally much sleepier airport. Having been denied permission to bring their formation flight to Oshkosh for a mass arrival, the pilots now plan to stage the last time formation flight around midday on Monday the 26th in Illinois at Rock Falls. Some of the planes are expected to continue on to Oshkosh, but EAA says it does not expect more than four at a time to arrive there. Find more details on the celebration at Whiteside and the remarkable veterans and other people who are coming to it in the text version of this story, dated July 10th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, Beaches International GA hangars remain empty. Ocala International dodges a bullet. And a sad episode lands a female passenger in jail. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 12th. I'm Paul Plack. The general aviation hangars at the new Northwest Florida Beaches International Airport are still empty nearly 2 months after the facility officially opened, and it will now be at least the end of July before they become available. Mary Stittman, spokeswoman for Bay Aircraft Owners, an organization of pilots in the region, says the hangar size and power sources don't meet contract specs. Airport Executive Director Randy Curtis adds that issues such as drainage problems have slowed the county's approval of the facilities. Stittman says that while they wait, GA pilots are operating from the old Panama City Airport, but it has lost its control tower and there's no fuel available. She says when weather is marginal, pilots are forced to land at the new airport, where parking facilities are scarce, or go to nearby Mariana Airport, which is reportedly courting Panama City pilots with fuel discounts. Boy, talk about dodging a bullet. Ocala International Airport in North Central Florida had its airport operating certificate that allowed Part 139 operations pulled by the FAA in February after the agency found numerous safety violations, including inoperable taxiway edge lighting, faded hold position signs, a failure to address wildlife hazards, and depressions in one of the airport's runways. But the city council never heard about it, so the airport stayed open. The issue was finally brought up on a city council agenda July 6th. The Ocala Star-Banner reports that a written statement from city manager Ricky Horst appeared on the agenda informing the council that the violations had been addressed. The council's reaction was, "What violations?" Here's the dodge the bullet part. During the suspension, which lasted till June 25th, no Part 139 flights took off or landed at the airport. A city official says only two did so in the entire 2009 calendar year. Since the certificate was not required to be in effect for Part 91, GA operations didn't trigger a violation. This is kind of like the time you skipped studying for that test and then found out it was canceled the next day at school. The 31st annual Rocky Mountain Regional Fly-In is set for the weekend of August 28th and 29th at Rocky Mountain Metro Airport in Denver, and organizers promise a jam-packed weekend. It starts with a cute tongue-in-cheek promotion. The first 100 pilots flying in Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. and registering their aircraft get a free pancake breakfast. It's being called the Pilot Stimulus Package. A German Tornado, that's an aircraft not even seen at the nation's largest air shows, and an MV-22 Osprey will be among the static displays. Up to 100 exhibitors are expected. You can get more details at cosportaviation.org. But a word of caution, CSA's website will blast sounds from your computer without asking you first, so turn your volume down a little before you go there. And finally, an Indian woman on a Turkmenistan Airlines flight was arrested when a newborn infant was found stuck in the airplane lavatory after the plane landed in Amritsar in northern India on Thursday. The baby, which was found still stuck in the toilet, was rushed to Escorts Hospital near the airport. A team of surgeons had to use a saw cutter to free the infant's head from the toilet bowl. The baby remains in critical condition. The Press Trust of India reports a 22-year-old woman, thought to be the mother, had left the plane and was later arrested at the airport after the cabin crew discovered the baby. She's reportedly an unmarried medical student who had just completed a degree abroad. She was returning home on the flight. Indian Express says the flight originated in the Turkmenistan city of Ashgabat. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us why pilots need iPads. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.